For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And I went to New York, okay, spent the weekend in New York, where I mostly hung out with Buffalonians. I'll talk about that. But before I left, I did get over to the Paul Robeson Theater.
Oh, good.
To see Two Trains Running. You saw it.
Yes, I did.
Quite good.
I thought it was very good, and I had a particular warmth for it because it's set in 1969 when I was 19 and just full of myself, and it took me right back to that era.
And that's the period of time when Ed Smith, who directed it, first came to Buffalo, and that was the Buffalo he knew, which I found kind of interesting for this play being done at the Paul Robeson Theater.
So just at the point he was coming to Buffalo, I was going down to New York, but I guess the zeitgeist was national.
Particularly in northern cities, this play is set in Pittsburgh, where the neighborhood is run down and the owner of a restaurant, his name is Memphis, the town is Pittsburgh, his name is Memphis, and he's being pressured to sell the building, eminent domain, but he wants his price. And I don't think there's an August Wilson play in which less happens.
Right. That was my thought. It's a series of monologues. And if you love his monologues, you'll love this play.
Well, they're called arias because they're just so splendid. The language is so beautiful and you care so much about the characters. And you kind of don't notice that you keep being threatened something bad's about to happen and doesn't. And then you get to the very final scene where it's quite petrifying and we won't give away the end. But that's at the Paul Robeson Theater. Age blind, by the way. Good actors in the production, but it does take a little flight of the imagination to the young lovers in particular. It's the theater. Use your imagination. A handsome production of Two Trains Running.
Well, speaking of flights, you flew down to New York, and wow, you were really busy, busier than usual. What'd you take in, four plays?
Yeah, but at the same time, Donna Hoke, local playwright Donna Hoke, who is the regional representative, our regional representative for the Dramatists Guild, but she is also on the Dramatists Guild Council, the governance body of the Dramatists Guild. She was down there because in that capacity, she's also a Tony Award voter. So she had to see things and had a companion for the theater who fell ill. So she needed a replacement. And she texted me, do I know anybody? It's like, do I know anybody? Every former student I ever had is hanging out in New York City looking for that ticket. So she went to Lincoln Center with a former student of mine. And then we kept getting together for meals. And it's we're together with Vianne Cox, Tony nominee, friend of mine, and Dudney Joseph, local actor. We just saw him here in Little Shop of Horrors around a table and getting together frequently, seeing plays and talking about them, which was a lot of fun to get together with some very knowledgeable people of the theater and to talk about what we'd seen.
And I understand it was a New Yorker who had to tell you the bills won.
Well, that was very funny, yes. Lizbeth McKay, great Broadway actress, originally from Buffalo, and she made her mark when she was the original Broadway cast of Crimes of the Heart, which won the Pulitzer Prize. But she's a Buffalo gal, and I went to see an off-Broadway play called The Underlying Chris. Chris, the name Chris, by Tony Kaiser. And she was in it, and I stopped to say hello, and I said, you know, hi, Tony Chase from Buffalo. And she said to me, without an instant hesitation, the Bills won today. You gotta love it. You know, there's Lizbeth McKay and Christine Baranski just carrying the mantle for Buffalo and our football team in the city of New York.
You can take the woman out of Buffalo. You can't take the Buffalo
out
of a woman.
Apparently not.
Now, you saw a play that sounds controversial, but it isn't. Slave play?
Oh, yeah, it's controversial.
Oh, okay. It is. That's what I thought.
Yeah. That's a big ticket in New York right now. Slave play by Jeremy O. Harris. O is the middle initial. It's not like O. Harris. Well, it's been talked about in NPR quite a lot. People may be aware of slave play. And I knew what the device was going in. Others in my salon, gathering around the bar at Maison Sevilla, did not necessarily know going in. You see this scene, and it's an African-American woman, and she's enslaved by this odious white overseer, plantation owner, and the scene begins to get very sexually charged. And then it stops, and you're in another scene, and it's another mixed-race couple, and there's another scene. Well, it turns out, it's revealed to you that these couples are all in marriage therapy. They're all in some kind of sex therapy called antebellum sex therapy, where they're enacting these scenes set in the Old South. And it just brings out, opens this astonishing kettle of fish as this playwright, Jeremy O. Harris, explores race relations and interpersonal relations and how our histories or our ancestry come to play in the present in ways that we cannot anticipate, the ways in which culture supersedes us and colors our interactions with others. And it's quite a fascinating play for that. I would expect come Tony time, we'll be hearing that name again, Slave Play.
Glad you're back in town, and there's still good place to see here.
For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.